Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runs Roll podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, the special guest host who you've never met before, Jane Maguire.
Oh, Jane, welcome. Thanks for joining us this time.
What a shock. I'm back.
Oh, there we go.
Well, today we're talking with Franny Benali, football cult hero, about his amazing transformation from tough-tackling footballer to thoroughly nice man who runs a long way for good causes.
So it's, and a thoroughly nice man he is too.
He's very nice, isn't he? Very, very nice bloke.
Hey, but so let's keep it on the terraces, right? Segue. There was a with some beer chat.
Oh, lovely.
Right. So if you don't drink beer, sorry about that. Which, you know, but and it's, this is all science based, so get ready. There was published in the International Journal of Sports Nutrition and Exercise Metabolism a systematic review of beer and exercise. We published something in the magazine about beer being actually like really good for you as a, well, really good's generous, being okay as a hydration, like a post-race hydration drink. But if you keep the alcohol volume quite low. And basically this big chunk of science, which sort of reviews lots of different studies that have taken place over the years, has concluded that, drum roll,
what a strange drum roll.
So wasn't it more of a sort of jingle?
In general, low alcohol beer seems to be the most effervescent when individuals are looking to quickly rehydrate post-exercise.
I'm just going to quickly Google what effervescent means. Just
yeah, for, I mean, like for a Barocca?
Put a Barocca in your beer. Hold on.
It means successful in producing a desired or intended result. Effective.
Oh, okay. Not a Barocca. Cool. A Barocca is effective at hydrating too, though, right?
Yeah. So. When choosing a beer of higher in alcoholic content post-exercise, which is, I think is 4%-ish, it's wise to pair it with a non-alcoholic rehydration options to mitigate alcohol-induced dorsiasis.
Okay.
Does that not mean have a beer but have water too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Particularly when exercise-induced fluid loss are large. So it's basically saying, if you drink loads.
Some of these studies, Ben, like this has been commissioned, isn't it? And it's like, imagine, like, actually, if you're going to drink beer, drink low ABV and also have a water. Like, oh, thanks.
Oh, cool.
Thanks for that stuff. Anyway, guys, this is science. You're sounding very pessimistic about my fantastic bit of science that I just shared with you.
No, it's groundbreaking. Watch out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Glad they're spending time on that, to be honest. It's the study the world needs.
I've seen your beer stats, Ben, and I'm going to raise you some science about the wall.
Okay.
This is not the Danny Dyer show. This is the wall, the marathon wall, that can be hit around mile 22 of the 26.2-mile popular challenge. A huge new study of marathon splits and finish times provides us with more information on hitting the wall than ever before. So I'm just going to give you some highlights from this. So who suffers more from hitting the wall, fast or slow runners? Actually, it's
fast.
It's faster. Oh. Faster runners, which is a bit counterintuitive perhaps, but the author said that's probably a result because faster runners are associated with higher costs when they hit the wall, perhaps because they're pushing a little harder. So actually, if they hit it, they hit it hard.
Nice.
When are you most likely to hit the wall in your running career? Is it like your first marathon or last marathon? Let me tell you. Both men and women are most likely to hit the wall in the 3 years prior to their PB effort. This is a period when you're improving, pushing your limits, but haven't yet mastered the distance. So during this period, 40% of men are likely to hit the wall versus 28% of women, who are just better at avoiding the wall as a rule.
There you go.
So fast men will crash into that wall harder than slow women.
Yeah.
And or any women.
A bit, I think there's some discrepancy when people think the wall happens, but according to this data, for men the distance to the wall was 18.4 miles and women tended to hit the wall at 18.2 miles and the wall tended to last around 6 miles for both. Quite a long wall.
Very big wall.
Mm.
So huge.
I think that a lot of people think that a marathon, like they'd be almost be surprised if they started hurting, you know, hitting a wall at 18. And they'd be like, oh, I've got it madly wrong. I should be hitting the wall at like 22. But I actually think that the 18 to 22 mark of the marathon is, those are the key miles. Because at 22, you are quite close to the finish.
Yeah, it's true. In your head, you've kind of got that psychological thing of being like, oh, come on, last bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
So the
hottest take from that is just it really goes to show how long-term marathon goals are. If it's 3 years before your PB
totally agree.
Then it just goes to show, like, anyone who's out there like training for their marathon and they're really struggling, like, don't worry, you've got another 5 years of this.
But I think it's in some ways can be positive, can't it? Like, I think if you set yourself a genuinely ambitious marathon target, whatever time that is, yeah, I think you are looking at probably a 2 year project and maybe a three marathon project within that time, where you're like, you get somewhere, you get a marker down, you get it wrong, you get close, and then and then you do it. I mean, that's kind of what happened with you, Jane, with like going under four, wasn't it? It wasn't like
100%.
You nailed it after one time.
Hit the wall really hard, first marathon. Second marathon, didn't drink enough. Maybe I should have read Ben's study about having a beer. I am celiac though, so I don't know how that would work.
Gluten-free
beer. Yeah, maybe. And then, third marathon. Don't really remember a wall. Maybe that's a good thing.
I think that's it. The wall, I don't think, is an inevitability either. It's like, it's a lot to do with like how well you've trained, how well you've paced, and how well you've fueled yourself on the day. And I think also, like, there's a psychological aspect to the wall as well, where it's like the marathon will get hard, you know, after like 18 miles. That doesn't necessarily mean you've hit a wall. It's just... It's an incredibly tough thing to ask your body to do. So
it's familiarity as well. Any race that you get used to doing, the wall will seem less obvious because you know what's coming.
Totally.
Whereas that first time you go in a training plan, most people will not run more than 20, 22 miles.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you sort of backdate a bit of that effort and sort of the day and the occasion and all those sorts of things. And that's probably why 18 is suddenly raises its ugly head.
Yeah.
At 18 and goes, oh, this is hard.
Yeah, completely. But I think, yeah, it's an interesting study. I mean, like pacing, it seems to be, it's not like hitting the wall's a male problem, but men seem to be slightly, better at hitting the wall, which is obviously a negative thing compared to...
But you made it sound good. Well done.
Yeah. I made it sound all right. So we've got a footballer coming on later, and I know that neither of you are, I wouldn't say either of you are massive football fans. Is that fair to say or not?
Go on, the lads. football. Not really, mate, to be honest, no.
Well, I'll give you a quick potted history of Francis Vincent Bernali's playing career, just so you're up to speed. So
good, do it.
He is a cult hero. He spent almost all of his playing career at Southampton, representing the club 389 times, which is a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot of games.
He's remembered for being an uncompromising, old-fashioned style defender who notched up no fewer than 11 red cards. That's almost a record. I'm not sure there's that many players in the Premier League.
When you say old-fashioned, that just makes it sound like he used to just hack people down.
I think he was quite physical. Quite a physical player.
Gotcha, right.
But his post-football life is amazing. So he's sort of transformed into this amazing endurance athlete. He's run incredible feats. He's raised more than £1 million for cancer research, and he also won an MBE for his efforts earlier this year. So it'd be great to catch up with him. So I think, should we bring on our guest of the week?
Yeah, let's do it. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Well, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. Great to have you on, and thanks very much for making the time to speak with us.
It's an absolute pleasure. No, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to trying to answer the questions as best as I can.
Well, yeah, because I do think that your sort of transformation, your career is amazing, because most Premier League footballers probably spend their post-football years on the golf course, but not you. You've been kind of motivated to keep pushing yourself in these amazing endurance challenges. So, I mean, why did you want to do that?
Well, I guess I was pretty lousy on a golf course, Rick, to be honest, so I had to find something else. But I guess sort of beyond my playing days, fitness and running and the way I've lived my life throughout my professional career was always just became almost a lifestyle for me. You know, I've never drunk, I've never smoked. I took my approach to football very seriously, and just enjoyed running. You know, that's always been my go-to thing, if you like. And as the years went by, I ran the 2006 London Marathon, got a real buzz from that, really enjoyed the occasion. And then, you know, started to see some of the wonderful things people around the world were doing from an endurance perspective. And it just planted a little bit of a seed. I wondered how I could respond and react in those sort of environments, the ultra endurance world. But there was also an element of, you know, what are my boundaries? How far can I push myself? And where's that breaking point for me personally? As well as at the same time raising a huge amount of money and trying to do some good for a great cause at the same time.
Did you ever step off the pitch and have a game where you've known that you've run further? I'm always intrigued by it because there's always these stats at the end of like a game when they say like a player covered 10K or something during a match.
Well, I guess, Ben, quite fortunately in my era, there was not really the stats and the data to say how far you'd ran. You know, if a manager had come in at the end of a game and said, you haven't worked hard enough today, you could almost come back with an argument. But nowadays they just produce the data and, it's all there in black and white. But there were some games, it's weird. I mean, you almost become accustomed to know to what intensity to run at to almost last that 90 plus however few minutes extra in a game. But you always know it's a 90 minute time frame that you're going to be running around in. And I guess you learn to take those little breathers within a game when there's maybe a little break in play, a goal kick, a throw in, those sort of things. And the ball might be in an area of the pitch where you can take almost like a, for want of a better expression, a little short breather. But yeah, there were certainly games when, you know, just depending how you were playing, maybe the opposition making it difficult for you, where you would come off like feeling it a little bit more than normal. So but it's just, I guess, something when you're training for it day in, day out, you become very accustomed to what you need to do.
Is there any crossover with, I don't really know how footballers train, is there any crossover between training for like a running race and a football match, or is it a completely different?
I guess from the experiences I've had now, Jane, from my career in football and doing these challenges in recent years, during my playing career, you know, my endurance was nowhere near to the level of what I was doing these challenges. You know, I was just getting my body used to in recent times to running mile after mile, hour after hour, day after day. My body, I think, has gone more in line with a bit of an ultra endurance athlete sort of figure. I was probably a little bit more muscular during my playing days. I was never the biggest. You know, I'm only 5'9", but as I say, running was always something that I felt very comfortable with. I was pretty quick in a football sense. But, you know, it's that explosive speed and stop-start within football that's almost very different to just putting one foot in front of the other and running mile after mile.
I think you're known as being a very kind of tenacious, tough-tackling player. There's a real kind of intensity to the way that you play football. Do you think that's been, you've brought the same kind of intensity to these running challenges, or have they in fact been a kind of way of releasing some of that intensity?
Interesting question, Rick. I think it's probably best way to answer it is a bit of both, really. I certainly know I've had to, you know, dig deep within me, and all of us as runners at some point, you know, whether it's a training session or you're doing an ultra endurance event, whatever it may be, there always seems to be that moment where each and every one of us has that moment where you've either got to, you know, run through some physical discomfort or mental discomfort, whatever it may be, and overcome those little hurdles. But it's something I think that, you know, I've enjoyed running. I enjoy running first and foremost. So, you know, I think that helps when you want to do something and you get pleasure from doing something like that. But yeah, the challenges push me to levels that, yeah, I never thought, you know, some pretty dark places as well, whether that's on a, you know, a daily basis or, you know, just trying to get through, you know, the next mile, the next 5 minutes, or just putting one foot in front of the other. You know, sometimes it was pretty tough and pretty hard, but I guess when you've got a purpose and a reason to be doing that challenge in the first place, then those sort of things enable me to push me through those tough moments.
I mean, one of your challenges was involved running to every football ground. I imagine that that could be an endless task if you sort of, depending how low down the leagues you want to go.
No, but it's just Premier League. No,
but I mean, you know, you could really keep that going. You could be every single town in the country.
Every Sunday league.
But the thing was, when we came up with the concept of that challenge to run into all the Premier League grounds, you know, I thought it was a great idea because it was a connection to my career as a footballer. But when we made the decision to actually write, this is what the challenge is going to be, at the time it was obviously before we knew who was going to be relegated, who was going to be promoted to the division when we set the date for the actual challenge. So depending on what clubs went up and down would have determined effectively where I ran to. And I was so pleased that Norwich got relegated that season because they were right out on a limb. We had Swansea that were in the Premier League at the time at one point, and I had to run from Swansea right across into London, almost like following the pathway of the M4 corridor. But yeah, Norwich seemed to be one that was a little bit out of the way in the sticks, but it came back to bite me a little bit because they were included when I did the Premier League and Championships clubs in the second challenge.
Right, there we go. We've had some Rick, you'll know it was Scott.
Oh yeah, Scott Cunliffe.
He was a football. He was that was
following
it.
Burnley
fan,
wasn't he?
And he ran.
I saw that every game. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's a big commitment over the course of a season, wasn't it? He was going to all the away games.
Yeah. I accompanied him. He was going down to Brighton, and I joined him for about 10 miles. I was wearing my Palace kit, so I felt like that was like a good sort of provocative choice on the way to Brighton. Can I ask you what felt better, Franny, scoring your one Premier League goal for Southampton or finishing one of these endurance events?
Oh, wow. What a question. That's a tough one. One goal in nearly 400 appearances suggests I was never prolific. So I wish there'd been a few more goals in my career and a few less red cards. But I think looking back on my career as a player and the challenges we've done, you know, both were very much team, quite naturally, football is a team environment. I couldn't have done any of these challenges without my family and a support team around me as well to complete them. So they were both team challenges in one sense, but I guess the challenges were very much an individual challenge for me as well. So I'd probably say, to be honest, accomplishing or finishing these challenges would surpass any pleasure or enjoyment I got from scoring my one and only goal, I think.
I don't know, though. That one goal.
Talking of your challenges, you attempted to run 7 Ironmans. Ironmans? What's the math correct there? It doesn't make sense. In 7 days, why? And was that as horrible as it sounds on paper?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal, Jane. The idea for the last challenge was the very first challenge. We've touched on it. It was a run to every Premier League stadium. And to make it a challenge, you know, I mentioned just a moment ago, we had no idea what clubs were going to be in the division at that point. So we hadn't, you know, the route had not been mapped at that stage. I was a bit shocked when it actually got looked at seriously, mapping the route. It was, you know, over 800 miles, I think it was. So to make it a challenge for me, I wanted to be running, you know, a pretty big distance. I didn't want to be doing this over 3, 4, 5 months, whatever it was. So, you know, it was a 3-week challenge and it was running approximately 40 miles a day every day for the 3 weeks. So it was a one discipline challenge over 3 weeks. The second challenge, I was conscious that I'd put my family Ambersouth, I guess, but also the support team through the strain and stresses of a 3-week challenge, living on the road, constantly on the move, and all the strains and pressures that brings. But we were conscious of trying to bring the time frame down. So for the second challenge, we thought, well, let's shorten it to 2 weeks, but add a second discipline. So I added the cycling to it this time. And the second challenge was going to all the Premier League grounds plus the Championship clubs, 44 clubs in 2 weeks this time, where I was running a marathon each morning and then getting on the bike and cycling at least 75 miles each day. So there was almost like a bit of a natural flow getting to the Iron, what we called the Iron Fran challenge. It sort of worked quite well, a little play on words. But I thought, well, we've had one discipline, then two. Let's add the swimming. It seemed to be the obvious thing, but maybe just make it a week long. Yeah. And not being a swimmer either, or what I would call a proper swimmer, brought that its own challenges in itself. But, you know, we actually came up with the concept, my wife and I, we were on a cruise on a sunbed in the middle of the Mediterranean. And I was trying to think of things to do. And I guess rather silly mentioned to my wife, I said, I've got an idea for the last challenge. So she said, okay, what is it? And I said, I'll just run and run and run until I collapse and drop. and she just said, okay, well, that is just ridiculous.
Please don't.
Yeah. You know, as if we're all going to, you know, you'll eventually collapse maybe at one point and everyone will stand around cheering and clapping because the challenge is over. So I quickly realized that was a daft idea. But yeah, I just thought, well, let's add another discipline, make it a week-long challenge. And I thought, well, you know, an Ironman distance triathlon is, I guess, many people's eyes like an ultimate sort of three-discipline challenge. And yeah, it just thought made sense. It felt comfortable. And that's what we went for, you know, 2.4-mile swim, 112 miles on the bike, followed by a marathon each day for 7 days was the target.
Wow. So it's a strong, the if you had the idea of running until you've dropped, have you seen the Backyard Ultra stuff, which is essentially that concept where you just basically run as far as you can for as long as you can? Is that you know, that sounds like something you'd quite enjoy.
At one point, Ben, yeah. Maybe I think I would have done, but just knowing how there's some extreme bonkers things that, you know, people take on, isn't there? And yeah, maybe, but you know, I've got to be a little bit mindful. I'm not sort of the youngest sort of man anymore, and you know, there comes those challenges with life and fitness and things. But yeah, I think my mindset, I'd probably still like to take something on. When I was researching stuff, you know, coming up with an idea or something to do for a challenge, I you know, quite naturally there was the football connection and theme. And then I started to think, well, do I need to take it overseas maybe? You know, some wonderful things around the world. And I remember seeing things like the Badwater Ultra Marathon, you know, that really sort of captured me at one point. But then I think there was quite a selection process, wasn't there, to qualify for that or get picked or selected. So yeah, I sort of turned away from that again. But who knows, maybe there's something around the world that would be good to get involved with again.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're a proper cult hero, Franny. Like, there are pictures of you, I've heard, that Southampton fans put around the world. So you can find like little kind of, you know, stickers of Franny on like the Golden Gate Bridge and like in Rio and stuff. So you are a proper like genuine cult hero in football. But do you have running heroes? Is there anyone that you kind of look up to in the running world?
I think I cast my mind back. I mean, as a young boy growing up and going to school, you know, I just loved sport. Sport was the thing. I almost went to school for PE, whether that was playing football in the playground, athletics, cricket, rugby, whatever it may have been. Over the years, I had to sort of focus and then devote more time to the football side. But I can remember as a youngster growing up, there was obviously sort of like Steve Ovett and, you know, Seb Coe and guys like that, you know, that I remember watching on television. And football was always my thing, don't get me wrong, and that's what I was always wanted to become. But I always admired the athletic side. I think I held an under 13s hurdles Hampshire record for about 15, 20 years or something silly. But I was quite big as a youngster, so I was almost like just walking over the hurdles as a young boy at the time. But yeah, I guess more modern day stuff, I've always been intrigued, especially with getting involved in these challenges, you know, the things people do. And I guess maybe more recently, just seeing Kipchoge's sub 2 hour marathon thing is just mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, you know, my daughter does some you know, she's a broadcaster and a presenter, and she was doing some work, I think, up in Manchester a few months ago, and it was at an event, and they had, you know, one of those big treadmills that they set at the pace that Kipchoge was going. And I remember seeing a bit of footage of her running on that, and it's like a flat out sprint, isn't it?
Sprinting, yeah.
It is a sprint. Yeah. And you think, how on earth does you know, he or anybody like that sustain that kind of pace for as long as they do? Is just incredible. So yeah, I guess he's one that I look up to at the moment.
Totally, totally.
And I mean, you've gone from being like a professional footballer to going on a cruise and thinking of ways where you can run until you drop. Do you think that is mindset is like, can you just go for a run, or do you need that? You need that challenge, that goal, that like, do you need that? Is that part of your kind of being, I guess?
Yeah, I think it is really, Jane. I think, you know, as a professional footballer, you've always got a goal, whether that's, you know, to stay in the team or try and get back into the team, or, you know, on a week-by-week basis, coming up against an opponent. So there's always a short-term goal to work towards. So there's always that sort of focus in my life and keeping the fitness levels and everything and staying fit during the career. But I guess maybe that's why I ran the London Marathon. You know, just going out for a run to a degree is great, and there's times and places where that is great, and I feel I need that, and I enjoy that, just going out for a run and enjoying the fact of just getting a sweat on, getting a little blow, and knowing that I've done something. But at the same time, I think there's a big part of me that I need and helps to have a goal of working towards something rather than just going out for a run and doing other things just for the sake of keeping fit. So yeah, having those sort of goals certainly helped me, I think.
I think that, I mean, we've rattled through some of your big challenges, but I think that this isn't just like a masochistic thing that you're doing for your own benefit, because you've raised millions of pounds for cancer research doing all these things. So what does that charity mean to you? I mean, apart from obviously raising money brings a whole element of sort of, you know, gusto when it comes to setting these challenges, but what does that charity mean to you?
It means so much, Ben. I mean, you know, when I sat down and wanted to raise a big sum of money for a great cause, cancer research, you know, cancer is something that has touched us as a family. It had done before I set off on a single foot on these challenges, and it's touched us and affected us. We've lost family and friends through the period of the challenges as well, and that just reinforces, you know, I guess trying to raise the money for such a great cause. It was a big challenge in many ways, the very first one, like they all were in some shape or form. But when I was asked about an actual figure, I knew I wanted to raise some money without really knowing a figure as such. And when I sat down with a couple of representatives from Cancer Research UK, they said, well, you know, just out of interest, how much would you like to try and raise for us? And I thought, well, it's a big challenge. Let's pluck a big number. And I picked £1 million out of my head almost from nowhere. not really realizing quite how difficult it is to raise that sort of sum of money, hence why it took three challenges to try and reach that target. But it was a big driving factor for me, put it that way. Through the process and the connection with Cancer Research UK, I met many people around the country who were fighting their own battles and had been touched by cancer, and that was a big driving force that helped me almost on a day-to-day basis through the challenges as well.
That's great. Can we talk a bit about your book, Franny? Because Francis Benali, the autobiography, is out. It's also got a great subhead, which is Football Man to Iron Fran. So congratulations on that alone.
Thank you.
I mean, this charts your whole career, doesn't it? From sort of early life to football to sort of the latter day endurance stuff.
It does, yeah. I guess, like, any autobiography, you feel that you've got to almost put your entire life down in print, and that's a challenging thing. It's an emotional thing. It's an enjoyable thing as well, really, especially at this stage now where the book has been produced. It's been a year to 2 year concept and process. It's been, you've gone through every range of emotions, really, and it's just trying to make it a read that is truthful and factual, as well as enjoyable for anyone that's reading it. And I certainly hope that my background as a person, also my playing career, and then I guess in recent times the challenges, people will be inspired, because I very much saw myself as someone of limited ability from a football point of view, and how I made up for that in determination and effort, and I'm sure those sort of qualities were needed in the challenges as well. So it's been quite a process. I'm pleased it's on the shelf now, and it's just great to sort of finally see it. Actually, I could give it. I know people, you can't see, but for your benefits, there you go. There's a little copy on my on my desk here.
Look at the size of that shirt. Yeah, this kit used to be so big, didn't it?
Oh, do you know what? Even the short sleeves that I used to wear were like a long sleeve shirt. They were that baggy and big, and none of the sort of tight fitting body form shirts that we see nowadays.
Franny, thanks so much for making the time to come on the Runners World podcast, talk about your footballing career, but also more importantly your running career, which is remarkable. And the autobiography is out now, so if anyone's listening to this and wants to get hold of it, then they can do. And thanks again for your time.
It's an absolute pleasure. Take care, guys.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. Thanks very much to our guest Franny Benali, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can, of course, subscribe to just three issues of Runner's World for £5. Head over to hearstmagazines.co.uk/the Runner's World podcast to get this exclusive listener offer. Or dive right in, get 12 issues. That's one every single month of the whole year. What a lovely treat that'll be. Think about Christmas. It's coming. It's not, but do it anyway.
We don't need to tell you, if you're still listening, that you can listen to the Runner's World podcast on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite apps. But we would really love it if you subscribed. So, yeah. Click subscribe, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.